Welcome to The Third Mind, a podcast that examines the world of supervision in transactional analysis psychotherapy. I am Aruna Gopakumar, a provisional teaching and supervising transactional analyst. In each episode of The Third Mind, we present a supervision session, a dialogue between a therapist and a supervisor, where the therapist reflects on their lived experience with the client. Therapists talk about their questions, stuckness, mistakes, and ethical dilemmas, and think together with me about them. Each session is followed by a discussion with other psychotherapy trainees to apply theory to practice. The clients presented here are fictitious, though the challenges of the practitioners are real. I have created this in collaboration with my trainees who have enacted the roles of the supervisees to bring these challenges alive.
Welcome to episode 2, When Care Can Harm.
Hi, Lalana.
Hi, Aruna. So, Aruna, I wanted to talk about this client. Let's call her Ritu. I've been working with her for a year now. She has recently gone through a crisis. So, I agreed to interact with her between sessions as well. I wanted to validate if it was okay for me to do that.
Okay, so you want to validate if it was okay for you to interact with her.
Yes, I feel like I've done the right thing.
And yet you have the need for validation, which is why you brought it to supervision.
Yes, I've been working with her for a year now. She always seems to be going through some crisis or the other. So she comes into the session and just launches. It's as though she's offloading all that she has that has happened to her in the week. It offers her relief, makes her feel understood. She goes back grounded and very grateful for the session. However, we seem to be moving from week to week with no direction for our work. I have made my own notes of her history. I have an understanding of her script, the changes she needs to make, but I see no opportunity to bring it up with her. In the last session, I brought up the conversation about a review to see how far she had come, you know, and where she would like to go. She said, "I'm feeling too sick. I can't talk about it right now." She wanted an extramarital relationship, but the man said no. So she went through weeks of a low mood, believing that she would never find love. Earlier, a very key person in her team suddenly left her, leaving her feeling overworked, underappreciated, and exploited. And then there was this whole COVID crisis where she lost her sister-in-law. She herself had COVID. And then she has found this new relationship. In my opinion, this person doesn't care too much for her, but she's still going after it, setting herself up for more distress.
Can I slow you down here, Lalana?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm wondering, you're sharing a lot of detail with me. I'm wondering how it is connected to our contract.
As I said, there's a lot going on for this client. I would like a sense of maybe renewed confidence that I'm on the right path. I think I'm handling it well, but she's experiencing panic and fear. So I'm also feeling that panic about her.
Are you experiencing the fear right now?
Yeah, I think I just recognized it. My heart is pounding and I realize I gave you so much detail. This is actually the kind of rambling that she does at the beginning of every session. The feeling that I have is being kind of swept up in this tide. I need to rescue her from her current crisis. You know, there's some turmoil or the other that happens week on week.
So you have a sense of being swept up by her turmoil, yeah? And you feel you're being pulled into a role of taking care of her in some way.
Yeah, actually, I'm the only caregiver in her life right now.
You're the only caregiver?
Well, her relationship with her husband has broken down for several years now. She's been trying to find out love outside of that relationship, but has been failing. Her health also has been pretty poor. Her mother is in another city, old and ailing. I think she feels helpless and guilty at being unable to support her. So overall, I do experience her as being very fragile. I see her needing the holding that she gets from me. She messages me every day. She asked if she could call me between sessions. She said, I know I'm not supposed to bother you, but I'm really suffering. I need to talk to someone. I don't have anyone. I made a conscious call to say it was okay. I thought about it. She typically calls me around 7:30 in the evening and we speak for 5 minutes.
So what's the doubt that you're experiencing? Why did you feel the need for validation?
So what we've learned in training is that I must not encourage between session contact. So it's basically a deviation from what is recommended. And I do feel that she needs it at this point in time. So I didn't want to make her feel that she's alone. I have to go for vacation for about 15 days next month. And she went into further panic when she heard that. And that's what made me step forward and offer that I would be available. And this really made her feel relaxed.
So what are you taking responsibility for here, Lalana?
So again, I know that theoretically she is responsible for her feelings. But I do feel that my actions impact her feelings. I'm being human. I think it's important to not just go by the book. I see this as an adult choice that I'm making.
Okay, so how could you confirm that you are in your adult? What all have you accounted for in making this decision?
Well, I accounted for how this decision or act would benefit my client.
Okay, that's good. Did you also account for whether there was a potential for harm?
Actually, as I think about it, I feel there's potential for harm for me more than for the client.
Yeah, in what way?
I'm on the edge all the time. I'm very nervous about missing her call because I think she can easily feel abandoned. Sometimes her messages stress me out and I don't really know what to reply on WhatsApp. It feels very complex. I also feel pulled into validating her sometimes when I don't really want to. So actually, as I think about it, many more possibilities come to my mind. The more closely I get involved with her, I'm losing that objectivity that I need for a therapeutic relationship. I feel like I'm beginning to judge her for walking into a relationship that can be potentially abusive.
That's excellent awareness, Lalana. You're becoming aware of your own countertransference. So you are ending up doing things that you might not want to do. You are entangled with her in a manner that does not allow you to examine really what may be going on between the two of you.
Yes, I think I'm just recognizing that stress that I'm experiencing.
Yeah, it's quite unboundaried, right? She can call you when she wants, almost every day. This creates stress for both. But there's more potential for harm, apart from the stress you're experiencing, which is definitely harmful to you. In that, slowly, you may begin to build up resentment and there could be an enactment in the future. She may make more and more demands of you that you may not be able to meet. And then she can feel let down, just as she feels let down by others. And perhaps you may also feel let down, saying that I've gone out of my way so much and that's not being recognized.
But Aruna, enactments are inevitable, aren't they? I mean, if it happens, maybe I can make meaning of it with her and examine what happened?
Enactments are inevitable. There's no doubt. But we don't have to willingly go towards them because they carry potential for harm. Do you have data that she can process ruptures in an adult manner and derive meaning from it?
No, you're right. She would get terribly hurt. That's more likely to happen. But I do have some data. In the initial sessions, she would always come late. And she would have a story about how difficult it was for her to be on time. A couple of times, she did not show up as well. I had a conversation with her about honoring my time. And after that, her behavior changed. She's never been late after that. So I think she does have the capacity to take adult responsibility.
So how come you're discounting that now?
So here I believe that she's in real distress. I really believe she needs me. There's so much that's going on for her.
I'm wondering if she has in some way co-opted you into agreeing with her.
So are you saying that I'm being recruited to play a role in her script, that I'm unconsciously in a game?
What do you think?
We did speak about the potential for harm. I had discounted that, I think. I have stepped in as a rescuer.
Yeah. So that's definitely an indicator of being in a game. You recognize the drama triangle role.
Yeah.
You also spoke about being swept up in her turmoil. Yeah.
Yes, and not being able to invite her to move beyond her current distress to her larger patterns and feeling helpless there as well. I can see now that I bought into her version of reality. So yeah, I can now understand how I've unconsciously entered this game.
Good awareness. Yeah, we know games are two-person processes. Both are unconsciously furthering their own scripts.
Yeah.
So you can see how you are being pulled into her script. Mm. But I'm also curious, what is it about your own script that allowed you to be recruited into this dynamic with her?
I think it's probably the gratitude that she expresses in every session, you know, when she says, "You're the only person for me."
Lovely awareness. These strokes can be so seductive.
Okay. Yeah, I know. And I think "you're the only person for me" really touches a weak spot in me. I know the pain of feeling abandoned. I've had these fears myself. My own coping strategy to deal with my fear of abandonment has been to overdo. So if I am needed, then I won't be abandoned, right? So this is something I'm working with in therapy, but I guess I keep getting pulled into it unconsciously.
So perhaps you over-identified with the client.
I definitely did.
And how do you feel now as you recognize this?
I have to confess, I'm feeling embarrassed for missing this. But I'm also quite relieved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you know and you could act differently. Yeah.
Yes.
So what would you do differently?
I think I want to say that we stick to weekly sessions with no in-between session contacts. But I do believe that there's this element of misfortune that has played in her life. So I'm not sure if all of it is her script. Like, for example, losing her sister-in-law, getting COVID herself. She couldn't have controlled that.
Are you discounting her choice in how she responds to the crisis in her life?
Yeah, I am. I mean, she exploits them to feel miserable about her life. Yeah.
And what's your intuition? Do you think her disasters will end?
Well, they haven't ended for 1 year. So, yeah, I don't think they will.
Yeah. So what do you know about her history to know how this pattern serves her? She seems to be taking advantage of her misfortunes, right?
You know, I do think she loves wallowing in self-pity. She has suffered severe emotional neglect as a child. So her narrative is that life has really been unfair to her. I've observed that she has an air of self-righteous entitlement because she has suffered so much. She then gets taken care of and avoids responsibility for herself. Oh my God, that's exactly what's happening here as well. She does believe that I must be available to her because she's suffering so much. Yeah, she has the same demands of her husband, I realized.
Yeah, yeah, good awareness. Good awareness of her sense of entitlement when it comes to your time and your availability.
Yeah.
So what will you do differently?
So I want to tell her that we'll only meet weekly, but at the same time, I don't want to sound uncaring. I don't know how to, you know, message that.
So maybe we should look at your definition of care.
So I see care as empathy, holding a person, you know, understanding in a non-judgmental way.
It might be to expand your definition of care to more than resonating with her unconscious need to be seen as a victim.
So I guess I need to talk about what's going on here, but then it feels like I'm confronting her.
And what are you discounting when you don't confront?
I guess I'm discounting her adult capacity to receive the confrontation and take responsibility for her choices.
Yeah. So confrontation is care in a way.
Yeah.
So Lalita, you wanted validation for yourself. Yeah, I appreciate your wanting to be human and responsive. Yeah. However, for this client, holding on to boundaries is important. Yeah, because when you hold on to the boundary, you actually confront her own belief that she is helpless. Yeah. And even if you want to extend yourself, I would recommend that you do it in a boundaried way. For instance, what about saying, I'll offer you an additional session, but I will charge for it.
So, you know, I can see how much I've bought into her stories, Aruna, because my first thought is she can't pay because she's struggling with money as well. So I think I'm feeling manipulated now to think that I'm offering so much of myself without charging. I'm recognizing how this could really pan out into a harmful game for both of us. So what's occurring to me is that I tell her we need a session to talk about what's going on between us. I'll bring some of her patterns out into her awareness, and maybe I'll set a boundary around how long I can offer this you can call me anytime deal, after which I'll say that if she needs me, we can contract for more paid sessions.
Great. I endorse this decision to have a meeting with her to talk about what's going on.
Yeah.
How could you, given how fragile she is, how could you reduce the possibility of harm in this meeting?
Good question. She could feel hurt. And I'm aware of my growing frustration. So if I'm not careful, I could turn into persecutor from rescuer and in some way push her away from therapy. So I need to be gentle with her. She may still escalate her distress, but I will hopefully offer some sort of containment. I'm becoming aware that I might need to consider the words I use. How do I acknowledge my own contribution to the process? How would it impact her? How would it impact her to know that I made a mistake? I need to think about this more and choose my words carefully.
Yeah. And these are wonderful questions you're asking yourself. So, where are we, Lalana, on our contract? Have you got what you were looking for?
Yes, Aruna. I think I've certainly got a way forward. Maybe, you know, it was wrong for me to ask for validation for what I'm doing, but it's good that I've it's not validation any longer. So I think I know what I want to do next. Yes.
And I still want to validate your positive intent in wanting to support a client. Yeah?
Yes. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Let's get to reflections on theory.
Hi, Abhijit. Hi, Poonam.
Hi, Aruna. Hi, Poonam.
Hi, Aruna.
So let's review my supervision with Lalana. What stands out for you in this supervision?
I think the understanding that confronting is also care. I am recognizing that my sessions also stretch by 5 to 10 minutes every time. I was feeling very virtuous about my willingness to stretch, but I can now see that there are nuances that I haven't considered.
Yeah, I mean, I do stretch myself for clients who are highly emotional. Sometimes I feel it is okay.
So that's a good question. When is it okay?
I think sometimes when they're dealing with the emergence of repressed feelings or when they are going through painful transitions or losses, extension by a few minutes may be appropriate in these circumstances.
Sure. Sometimes it is okay.
Sometimes I also show up in certain ways for my client that I feel can be therapeutic. For instance, one of my clients, she started dancing again after 20 years and she invited me to see her performance. It was an important internal victory for her and she wanted me to witness that. Not going would have been experienced by her as a letdown.
I can see that, yeah. So there are some, these are good examples of what we call boundary crossings when it is useful to stretch in aid of therapy. So let's look at when it is not okay.
I think when it is overdone, so it can make therapy a bit cozy, collusive place where little changes take place.
Wonderful. Good awareness.
So how do we really know when it is okay or not okay?
I think I would attend to my feelings. I mean, if I have any sense of stress or discomfort, I would definitely reflect on it.
I agree. My own feelings are a key diagnostic tool. I would also ask, how is what I am doing supportive to a client? How is it likely to harm? Would I offer this to others? What's going on in our relationship?
Wonderful questions. So deciding to go beyond boundaries needs judgment, yeah? And support and challenge are attuned to each client. Low levels of challenge can create a climate of collusion. However, high levels of challenge, if misattuned, can feel persecutory. And there is potential for what we call iatrogenic shame, which is shame caused by the process of therapy.
Yeah. When I challenge, I create some disturbances. And I need to be able to tolerate that, I guess.
Absolutely. Challenging a client can be scary for a therapist. But why is it important to have the courage to create disturbance?
Adult can get activated. It can get strengthened. A new ego state structure can emerge from it.
Exactly. Yeah, they say a therapy space over invested in empathy and reassurance can actually hurt the client. Sometimes, yeah, we have to use our judgment.
One interesting thing that I noticed was the client's script often shows up around boundaries. And that is why contracts are so important. They're protective of both client and therapist.
Wonderful.
The other thing that stood out for me is in this supervision especially was that the games would be bidirectional, right? Like I used to hold the view that my role was to identify the game and bring it to the client's awareness. But now I see that both of us bring our own scripts when we are interacting. Effectively, client is recruiting us into playing the roles that will help them to maintain their scripts. And also we also get pulled in because of our own scripts. So I think it is tough kind of, you know, to say that, you know, who started the game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We just get pulled into the game and we just get going with it.
Yes. I also wonder about the helpfulness of finding out who started a game. That feels like a game in itself.
It does.
It is important to recognize that we are impacted by our clients and can be active participants in an unfolding game. Like in this supervision, the therapist was unaware that she extending herself and is building up frustration.
Yeah. So this growing frustration has potential for harm. So her bringing the issue to supervision was an ethical practice. Yeah. I want to say that many therapists confuse intentionality with ethical practice. So if they intend to support, they believe they are ethical. However, they may not always be. Ethics is not about gross misconduct. Therapists often act unethically through things like inattention or going for the easy option, say soothing rather than disturbing, and sometimes making poor interventions. Like in this case, the therapist needed to attend to not just caring for the client, she needed to care for herself, and she needed to attend to the game that both had entered unconsciously, resulting in a loss of capacity for reflection.
Yes. This supervision for me was about the significance of boundaries and contracts.
Yeah,
in addition also to unconscious process, the bidirectional nature of games and the link to ethics, that stood out for me, yeah.
Well said, folks. Yeah, do you think this is a good place to close?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm good, yeah.
Great. Thanks so much, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.